Blog Talk Radio.
Another great show brought to you by the Law of Attraction Radio Network. The Think, Believe, and Manifest Show with author, master trainer, and certified dream coach, Constance Arnold. Join us every week as we bring you life-changing information that will empower your life. And here's Constance.
Well, hello there, everyone, and welcome to the Law of Attraction Radio Network. And I am Constance Arnold, your host for the Think, Believe, and Manifest Talk Show. And, of course, I am coming to you live with just a little southern flavor from stormy but still very beautiful Atlanta, Georgia. You know, some people call it hot Atlanta because it gets so hot here during the summer and because of all the wonderful things that are happening in this beautiful city. Well, I pray that wherever you are, that you are creating for yourself a beautiful and abundant day. I know that I personally have just had a great week, and I hope that you have too. Last night I had a very beautiful birthday party for two of my favorite people who have really been very powerful in my life, and it was a lot of fun, and I'm so grateful to be so blessed to have those two people in my life. And that's just an example of how I look everywhere, every day, for some place where I can be grateful and always express that gratitude to God and to others. And also, I just want to thank all of you for all of those great emails and comments that I've been getting. From your emails, I'm so glad that many of you are finding the missing pieces of the puzzle of your life so that you can begin to implement the process of creating permanent change. Well, in my life this week, I have been practicing pretending. That means I already have it now. And I was practicing in the area of wealth. What does that mean? That means that I wrote out a plan. What will I do when all of my wealth comes? Because if you truly believe, you're going to have a plan for it. I was really speaking out loud affirmations that were back with my emotions, feeling, and power. And I put myself in a state of abundance. And so it has been a great experience for me. So that's just an example of what I've been doing this week to begin the process of creating permanent change in my life. And remember that one of the main purposes of the show is to awaken you to how powerful you are, how phenomenal you are, and that you are co-creators with God in spirit. Well, that's enough of that. Let me share a little bit about some of my upcoming shows in May. Next Sunday, May the 10th, I have Dr. John DeMartini, who was a featured guest on The Secret. He's going to be talking about how to create wealth and well-being during an economic crisis. And guess what? It is a phenomenal interview because I've already pre-recorded it. It's so powerful. So make sure you tune in next Sunday, May 17th, Dr. Dina Davis, author of The Law of Attraction in Action. And boy, I'm reading her book, and does she have a phenomenal sense of humor. On May 24th, Heather Picken, the author of The Spirit Trainer, and Heather's going to be talking to us about how to use the Law of Attraction to create the body that you desire. And on May 31st, Dr. Dennis Kimbrough, best-selling author of Think and Grow Rich, A Black Choice. Dr. Kimbrough was commissioned by the Napoleon Hill Foundation to research successful African-Americans and take a look at how they were using universal principles to bring success into their lives. So just remember to listen every week. Of course, you know we air every week live at 7 Eastern Standard Time and 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And, of course, if you're really busy, like most people are, you can always download it. So today I already have the chat room open. And if you want to call in and ask our special guest, Sonya M. Miller, a question, you can call at area code 347-326-9837. And remember to listen through the entire recording and then press 1 so that Sonia can answer your question. So let me introduce my great guest today. Her name is Sonia M. Miller, and she is the author of The Attraction Distraction: Why the Law of Attraction is Not Working for You and How to Get Results Finally. Sonia created a powerful website and powerful resource called Success for the Soul, and she has a deep passion for seeing people overcome the obstacles that can arise when you're pursuing your dreams. And she's really compelled to keep finding ways to provide support to help others in these endeavors. She has 22 years experience in training and experience, and she's just a phenomenal woman. I've talked to her behind the scenes. I have been reading her book for the last 3 or 4 days and really could not put it down because it has such great, simple principles. So we're going to welcome our special guest today, Sonia Miller. Welcome to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
Thank you so much, Constance. It's great to be here.
Okay, you're coming in a little, I can hardly hear you.
Is that any better?
It's a little bit better.
Okay,
I don't know what happened. We always do a test check before we come on the air.
Yes, and is this any better?
No, it's not. Actually, it's sort of, it's very blurred.
Let me see.
Okay, so let's see what we can do, okay?
Okay.
So tell us a little bit about who you are, Sonia, and a little bit about yourself. And I understand that you started your professional life as a corporate finance stock and bond trader, and here you are now a spiritually oriented life coach. How in the world did that happen?
Yes, I came out of college with a business degree. Can you hear me okay?
I cannot hear you okay at all. I don't know what happened.
Well, you know, I have a second backup phone. Let me just try a really quick change here and see if that helps. Hopefully we won't get disconnected, but I think that might help.
Okay, and I'll just talk as she's doing that. Sonia just has a great book, and so many of you have really heard about the Law of Attraction, and you have some questions, and you've been reading, and you've been going to conferences, and you're kind of asking, what am I doing wrong? Why isn't this working? Why do I keep sabotaging myself? How can I make things happen more quickly? Have any of you been asking that question lately? I know that you have, and Sonia's really going to be talking about how you can awaken yourself to infinite possibilities and how she has a simple four-step formula that she's going to share with us today. Let's see if we can get a little bit clearer phone. Hello, Sonia.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you very well.
Oh, good. I'm glad that worked.
It did. So as I was saying, tell me a little bit about yourself and how is it now you are a spiritual-oriented life coach, and in your past life, you were a corporate finance or stock bond trader? How did that happen?
Right. Well, you know, it really wasn't until after I graduated college that I felt like I had permission to ask myself what it was that I really wanted to do. So when I went to college, I was kind of disconnected from my heart and soul, and I got a degree that I thought would be, you know, financially smart, you know, so I could get a good job. And so I got a business degree, and I got into stock and bond trading, and it really wasn't until then that I started asking myself what I wanted to be when I grew up. Most people hopefully do that before college, but I didn't do it until after college.
Neither did I.
Yeah. And then, so I had all this time on my hands now after you know, my 9-to-5 job, and I picked up my first kind of energy-oriented book. It was a Shirley MacLaine book called Out on a Limb. And one thing led to another, and I started volunteering at a place called the Healers Resource Center that had all sorts of counselors and practitioners and healers and psychics that would come in, and they would hold open houses. And so I was having every kind of reading and meeting these really neat people for quite a long time, and that started to expose me to a whole new way of looking at life and myself and the universe. And one thing led to another, and I learned about law of attraction and many other things and realized that, you know, what I really cared about was transformation and healing and personal success and realization. So from doing $25 million stock and bond trades, you know, I switched and I got a degree in social work and kind of got myself on the path of personal growth and transformation that way.
Wow. So how did you first learn about the law of attraction and how did it impact your life?
Well, you know, it was during my time as a volunteer at the Healers Resource Center that I started reading some books about you can't afford a negative thought, you know, things that talked about how we create our reality with our thoughts. And it was really through books. And as I read, I started to practice, and I was able to experience some success, and these ideas made sense on an intellectual level, but there were still places, no matter how much I tried to implement these ideas in my life, that I either couldn't get the results I wanted or, you know, it just, I wasn't sure if I believed it, you know. So it really was over the process of many years of studying and experimentation and being very frustrated at times that I kept going deeper with the ideas. And I found that I had a lot of unanswered questions. You know, the books would address certain subjects, certain topics, but there were a lot of gaps and voids. And also later on, I discovered some distortions, and those were the things that led into my frustration. But it was through being stubborn, I guess, and also mm-hmm. because at a deep level, the ideas resonated that I just kept going back. And that's when I started to unearth some of those subtle nuances that really make all the difference.
Okay, so you sort of specialize in the law of attraction. Is that right? And how would you define the law of attraction for somebody who's listening? In just a very simple way.
Well, the law of attraction is the universal law that dictates how it is that we experience our reality. And that law tells us that like attracts like. So what it is that we put out into the universe in terms of thoughts and emotions, which comprise our vibration, what we put out into the universe, we attract back the physical equivalent of that. And that's the basic definition of the law of attraction.
So what has fueled your passion for teaching others about the law of attraction? I just love your website. I read all of the information on it, A Success for the Soul, and I can just feel your passion emanating from your website. So what has sort of fueled your passion for teaching others about the law of attraction?
Well, I think there's a couple things. I think one thing that fueled my passion has been the places that I became very, very frustrated when at face value the idea that, oh, if I think about these things and talk about these things, I'll manifest things. And so I put a lot of energy into all of these techniques for focusing my thoughts and emotions. And yet I would manifest things that I didn't want at all. Or I would put lots and lots of attention on what I wanted and still not be able to manifest it. So my frustration and then my discovery of the solutions, I think it's just kind of one of those things, once you learn something that helps you, you want to help other people. So that was one thing that's really just fueled my passion. And the other thing is that I really see the law of attraction as something, it's really a vehicle for spiritual development. It's about so much more than attainment or achievement. And I think most people, hello?
Hello, I'm here.
Oh, okay, I just heard can you still hear me?
I still hear you very well.
Oh, okay. So I think most people meet the law of attraction or discover it at the level of, I want a house, I want a car, I want to manifest a new job. So it's about achievement or attainment. But once, if you're open to go deeper, what happened for me, and I think is available to anyone who's open, is it actually became a way of knowing myself, connecting with my soul and seeing myself as part of something much larger, a co-creator with universal energy.
Right.
And it really became a path for spiritual development. And so that is what really fuels my passion today. And I see the law of attraction, I specialize in it because I see it as just a great body of knowledge that is a great way of delivering information. But there's so much, it's so much bigger than that.
Right, and I agree with you wholeheartedly because I tell people it's a lot more than just attracting a new job, a new home. It's really about really identifying and attracting your purpose and really doing what you're supposed to be doing here on earth. And Spiritually, I love what you said in your book when you said at the very beginning that you were going to use the word God. I want to know, what is your take on why are people so reluctant to say the word God or spirit when it comes to using the law of attraction? Because one of the purposes of my show is to talk about the spirit or the power behind the law of attraction. So what is your feeling about, you know, people's feeling about God?
Well, the reason I wrote it in, addressed it at the very beginning of my book is that, again, everything that I teach about the law of attraction is in a spiritual context, and so you can't talk about spiritual principles without talking about the soul and God. And I think the reason that it needs to be addressed, in conversations or why it is that some people are uncomfortable is because God means many things to many people, and in some scenarios, there are very different opinions about what God is and is not, you know, and that has everything to do with the religion that we were raised in or not
right.
raised with, our experience of what happens among groups of people because of religion. And so I think it has to do a lot with how we define God, what it means to us, and also our ideas about God, you know, come to us through a very human filter. And so, you know, there could be things like fear and belief systems that can really influence one's experience and definition of God. And so God can actually be something less than comforting, you know,
right.
a less than comforting concept. And so it's always, I think, very important if we're going to teach using, you know, God as part of our message to be really clear about what it means to us. And to also invite people to explore that and honor their truth around it as well.
So when you use the word soul, exactly what do you mean by that? Explain that in more detail.
Well, when I'm talking about the soul, I'm talking about an aspect of ourselves that is beyond our physical self and beyond what we are able to perceive with our five senses. Our soul is the part of us that is eternal, that is broader in perspective, that has access to an intelligence that is above and beyond what we can glean from our five senses, and that is connected to and is able to access universal consciousness. So it basically is that part of us that lives, has been before this life and will continue after this life, and is connected to a divine consciousness, a wisdom, a love, and intelligence that is so much more than what happens for us in this physical life.
Okay. You have mentioned that success is not about technique. It's about awareness or consciousness. Expand on that. What did you mean by that?
Well, you know, I actually love talking about this idea because I know that this is one of the places that so many people get tripped up around what the law of attraction can be as a powerful, you know, resource in one's life, you know, as a life-changing, transformational resource. And that is that when people first learn about the law of attraction, they learn about these very common techniques, affirmations, visualization, do a vision board or a collage. You know, those are some of the most obvious and common techniques that people use. Those are tools and techniques. But what happens is that when they don't manifest what they think they're supposed to be able to manifest with these techniques, what most people do is they think more is better. Oh, I must not be saying enough affirmations, or I must not be saying them right, or I need to visualize more. And so what they do is they keep putting lots and lots of energy on the technique. They think the technique is what causes the manifestation. But the techniques are really just a tool. They're just a means to a bigger end, which is about how to access and direct our energy, which is our energy is the sum total of our thoughts, our emotions. It's a vibration. It's our essence. And so if you're saying affirmations that are, you know, words that say, I'm beautiful, I love myself, but the deeper level of your awareness is one of self-criticism, self-rejection, your feelings, your essence, your vibration, that's where you manifest from. And it doesn't matter how many times you say your affirmations, they're not going to have a lot of power if you can't get to the deeper truth.
Right.
Of your awareness and your consciousness and what you're putting out into the universe.
I know someone said if you're just saying words without any power or emotion behind it, it's just wishful thinking or talking. So is that why you decided to write the book, The Attraction Distraction?
Yes, I wrote the book. My whole thing was I wanted to write the book that I wished I had had on my journey. I found that things really started to shift in my ability to harness the power of the law of attraction when I started to understand these subtle nuances, these advanced principles about, for example, the difference between just saying affirmations versus connecting with a vibrational energy that's really a truth that you can believe in. So affirmations work, but you have to have emotional energy and alignment. You have to believe it.
So give me an example of that. Give me an example of an affirmation that you connect to and that you are aligned with.
Okay. Well, let's talk about money since that's on many people's minds all the time. So, you know, an affirmation that doesn't work is this general statement that, for example, I'm a financially free multimillionaire because that's what you want to be. So you just start affirming it and affirming it and affirming it. Deep down, your vibrating, your essence, your energy is one of scarcity and fear because you're looking at your bills and you don't know how you're going to pay your bills. You can say I'm a financially free multimillionaire until you're blue in the face, and if you don't address your energy to get into alignment with something that you believe in, it's not going to help you. So when I talk about creating affirmations that are based in something that you believe in and something that you are aligned with, it's much more powerful to come up with, this is one of my favorite techniques that I teach people. It's called the willingness mantra, or another affirmation. And you actually want to come up with a statement of truth, something that you believe in, because then your whole being is in alignment. For example, I'm willing to discover how to open to prosperity. I'm willing to discover how to see abundance when all I see is lack. I am willing to discover the higher truth of this abundant universe, even if I don't understand it right now. Those are affirmations that really start to lead you towards the path. You open the door to the universe to give you, because most people who want to create change are willing. I mean, if you're not willing, then you need to go even further back to what are you willing to open up to. But if you start with willingness, that is one of the most powerful tools for shifting your energy around anything. And I've seen it happen a million times where people start saying willingness mantras, and they start attracting a whole new reality, and they start to attract the people and resources and situations in their life that start to really create change.
Oh, that's easy and simple for people to do, and they can actually believe that and actually change their vibration level. Is that right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Well, let's talk about your four-step formula, and the first one is to identify what you want. And when I saw that, Sonia, I'm like, okay, why is that so hard? And share with our listeners some things that really hinder people from really identifying what they want.
Well, one of the things that I think gets us, sabotages us before we even get started is that many of us are afraid to want. And I believe that we all have, I call it a wanting mechanism, which is that our soul is here to create and expand. That's what we're here to do. And so that longing that we feel within us is a completely natural feeling. But what happens is, you know, we have these experiences in life where we've been disappointed or we've been told that we can't have what we want, and we get almost brainwashed and wounded, even in our capacity to let ourselves want what we want. So the first step is to give yourself permission to want what you want. And, I do teach, some tools and techniques for opening up to that. But, again, the first step is always willingness. And
what are some techniques that people can use? Because I think people need to know that, because people are struggling in that area. They don't really know what they want. So what are some techniques that you can share with people to identify how they can really find out what they want in their lives?
Well, I talk about five different techniques, and, you know, I'm sure there's many out there, but these are kind of my five favorites. And I like to have multiple techniques because everyone's wired a little bit differently.
Right,
so what's going
to
work for one person is different than another person. But one of the first things you always want to do is first, almost you want to lay the groundwork and prepare yourself. You know, so if that means just do a little bit of self-talk, do a little bit of deep breathing, say some willingness statements about, I'm willing to let myself hear my heart's desire. I'm willing to let myself want what I want. I'm willing to believe that it's natural and good to honor my inner callings. you want to first kind of lay that foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And then as far as some tools and techniques, for example, one is a very simple brainstorming sort of a session. So you pick a subject, let's say it's the relationship of your dreams or your right livelihood, and you sit down with pen and paper, and you give yourself permission to just write. Just do a brain dump, and don't worry about spelling or punctuation or grammar or anything. You just want to, like, totally allow it to come out of you. And that's just going to get the creative juices flowing. So brainstorming is a very easy one for people. And I have found that writing allows you to access, and it can help you connect with your soul's truth in ways that not writing, you know, it basically is a bridge to something deeper.
Right. Somebody said when you're writing, you're praying. I thought that was very, when you're writing, you're scripting and praying.
Mm-hmm.
So can you give me an example of a client of yours or a success story of somebody who you were able to help identify what they want?
Well, I guess, you know, pretty much all of them. You know, it's like whether it's brainstorming or I have this other technique which is called noticing the contrast. So, you know, an example would be I used to do this workshop called the Vision Workshop, and that's definitely one of the techniques that I like to teach on how to identify what you want. And that's a process of being guided in three meditations and then a thinking exercise that answers the questions, how do you want it to feel? And let me just back up and say this was specifically at the beginning, it was about creating a vision for your dream relationship.
Okay.
So I would guide people and clients in, first of all, writing about how they want the relationship to feel,
okay,
what the relationship produces for each of the people in the relationship, as well as for other people who will be touched by that relationship, and what is the purpose of that relationship, understanding that the purpose of that relationship for the seeker, the person who's doing the exercise, the purpose of that relationship needs to be an extension of that which gives one meaning, that which gives the person who's visioning meaning in their life. Because otherwise, you know, a relationship, you become one person in the relationship and then you're somebody else in a different area of your life, and you want to have all of your energy in alignment. So through writing about the how, the what, and the why, people start to get really clear about what they want.
Oh, that's a great technique.
Yeah.
That's really good. Well, step two was pretend you already have it. And I utilize that step all during the week. I love that. And little children are always pretending. They're talking to their invisible friends. And so people are saying, Sonia, how can I pretend when reality is so blatantly staring me in the face? I just lost my job. I don't have any money. Talk to us about how can we utilize pretending. We have it before we get it. I just love that one.
Right. Well, I think one of the things that's important to say about pretending, which is in the same realm as visualization, for example, is that, first of all, is to talk about why it works. And, you know, just to tell somebody to visualize, it'll still work, but I find that when you understand why it works, it just lends more power to the exercise itself.
Okay. And so why should we pretend?
The reason that we want to pretend is because we are multidimensional beings. We are so much more than the person that we see in the mirror, than the person that's being affected by the conditions around them in our physical reality, especially nowadays, like you said, where the stress level is higher around things like jobs and money and homes and things like that. So when we can start to see ourselves as much bigger than the person who is, you know, navigating their way through this physical world, that we are, that our bodies and our minds are contained within our soul, and that our soul is something, part of something much bigger, we start to open the door to understanding that there is a reality beyond what we are seeing in our day-to-day lives. And we start to tap into that reality, which is a reality of infinite possibility of energy, of what God and Source truly is, which is abundance and well-being and freedom and power and peace. That is a larger reality, which is absolutely right here, right now, available to us if we know how to connect with it, if we can lift the veil that makes us feel separate from that abundance. And we do that through our imagination. And so when we visualize something, when we just for a few moments connect with the feeling of how would it feel for me right now if I were sitting in my home, which I own outright, what would that feel like? What would it feel like to be so connected to the flow of abundance that I never have to think about a bank account or a job being my source, that I'm connected to the flow of the universe? What would it feel like to feel that sense of security and safety? That connection with feeling is the pretending. It's much more than mental imagery. It's really about, just like you said, just like a child does, you pretend that you already have it, that it's already done, because the truth is it is already here right now. And as you pretend and connect with the energy of what it would be like, you start to build the bridge between your current reality and the intended reality. So the imagination, and there's some wonderful authors out there that talk about visualization. One of my favorites is Neville, N-E-V-I-L-L-E. Neville has a beautiful way of teaching visualization in the way that it works, and he's a metaphysical teacher that was around in the 1950s, and he just explains it so powerfully, and he talks about how imagination is the creative medium with which we connect with a larger reality.
Wow. So since we're multidimensional beings, shed a little light on the difference between motivational and metaphysical.
Okay. Yes. Well, I'd like to make that distinction because, again, it starts to educate seekers about another way of relating to themselves and life in the universe. And especially, I believe, this is my personal opinion, in our culture, we have a very motivational sort of orientation. It's only very recently that metaphysics and the law of attraction is becoming more of a mainstream sort of a mindset. But, you know, usually motivational is about a way of approaching one's goals in life that is kind of a go-out-and-get-it energy.
Right.
Which tends to be kind of a masculine sort of energy. It's like, I have this goal, I'm going to create a strategy, I'm going to take these actions, and I'm going to do, and go, and get it. And that's fine, but there's such an easier way, a more magical way to tap into this universal creative energy when we open up to the metaphysical approach, which blends the motivational. You have to certainly take action, but as you open up to connecting with the energy of your consciousness, your thoughts, your emotions, the energy of pretending and gratitude, all of that, then you start to set in motion and animate the universal energy that can just make things flow for you rather than you having to go out and get it. And what happens is there is the masculine energy of taking action and moving towards things, but there's also the feminine energy of opening up and receiving. And that just takes manifestation to a whole new level.
I love the word flow and gratitude. I'm just big on gratitude, just being grateful for everything every day. Talk about the power of gratitude and how that really impacts our lives.
Well, you know, when I started to really understand the more subtle ideas, the nuances, and the advanced principles, I really started to ask the question. You know, I used to hear about affirmations and visualization and gratitude, and so I started to ask myself, well, from an energy perspective, why do these things work? You know, I didn't want just someone to tell me to go out and do it. I wanted to understand why it worked. And so I really thought about gratitude because everyone was talking about, you know, having an attitude of gratitude and doing your gratitude journal. And from a law of attraction point of view, what I realized is that when you tell the universe, thank you, when you say thank you for this, when you have a grateful heart, you are telling the universe, you are putting out the energy of thank you, I have this. You are acknowledging the energy of having or havingness. And because like attracts like, when you tell the universe, I have, you attract the same, the experience of you having. That is such a powerful concept to get, because what happens is most people get stuck in the wanting. And so even though step one of the mystics formula, the four-step process I used to teach the law of attraction, talks about identifying what you want and honoring the wanting, once you know what you want, you actually want to shift out of the energy of wanting, because every time you tell the universe, I want this, you get back you wanting this. You
mm-hmm.
keep the energy of lack because you're telling the universe you want it because you don't have it. So gratitude is one of the most powerful ways to connect with the energy of having, because it's acknowledging the abundance that you already have in your life.
And so you can say, I'm grateful, like I said, I'm grateful that I was able to have the two powerful people in my life to have a birthday party celebration at my home last night. So that means that more friends will come to me because I'm grateful for the friends that I have.
Exactly, exactly.
Okay.
And even when people feel like they have no money, at every single moment in one's life, we always have a choice. Will we focus on the proverbial glass half full or glass half empty?
Right.
If you focus on the empty, the lack, that's what you'll get more of. And so even when you've lost your job and the money isn't flowing, it requires discipline and commitment. But if you can continue to look at, what do I have? I have my health. I have friends. I have a roof over my head. I have food in my refrigerator. You give thanks for what you have, and that will allow you to keep open to the flow of more having, more abundance that's always there.
Oh, I love the way you explain that. Okay, step three, step out of your own way. Let go, be open, and be receptive. Explain those.
Well, you know, when I was writing this book, again, the thing that motivated me was that I really wanted to shed light on the places that I would get frustrated and I'd bump up against, you know, challenges with really seeing results in my life with the law of attraction. And what I have found is most of the teachings in around the law of attraction tend to be a three-step process, whether it's intended, allow it, and it is, or see it, believe it, receive it. And they are absolutely accurate, but what I found is that they don't really address in a way that I needed to all of the ways that I kept getting in my own way and didn't even realize it. So I actually included this fourth step, which is step out of your own way, to just really go in depth into how we unwittingly sabotage ourselves.
Give me some examples of that.
How do most
people sabotage themselves?
Well, there's many, many ways, but what I have found is that no matter what it is that we do, it always is some form of resistance. You can pretty much describe anything as a form of resistance, and there's so many subtle ways that we do it that I decided to come up with four categories of ways that we get in our own way, and I call those the four distractions, and they are the ego, our limiting beliefs, our relationship with our emotions, and attachment. And so each one of those categories will reveal to us some of the different ways that we get in our own way. And as we become better at identifying those ways that we do so, then we become more and more, we have the ability to train ourselves and become more and more masterful at managing those very natural human tendencies, instincts, and states of consciousness that kind of create resistance and block the flow of abundance.
Talk a little bit about emotions and how they really get in our way.
Well, you know, what I have found is that once a person starts to get the idea that we create our reality with our thoughts and emotions, that we really are powerful, that we really are not a victim of circumstance or fate, on the one hand, they feel very empowered. It's like, wow, you know, I can really do something about the circumstances
mm-hmm.
of my life. But then what happens many times is they actually become afraid of their emotions. And so they will set an intention. They'll have a goal. But then let's say it is, you know, I want to manifest a job. You know, I want to manifest a new job. And that's their intention, and they visualize and they set forth that clarity. But then things aren't happening the way they want it to. So
mm-hmm.
they start to become afraid, or they focus on the economy. Oh, there's no jobs out there, or the statistics are this, or the unemployment rate is this. And so what happens is they become afraid. And then what happens is they start to really mess with their own minds and say, well, I can't have those thoughts. I can't feel that way. I'm going to create something I don't want. I can't afford to think that way. I can't have these feelings. And they start to become afraid of their own thoughts and emotions. And what that does is it just creates this giant ball of resistance. And what it does is by giving all of this resistance to the thing they don't want, they actually give more and more energy to the thing they don't want, and they can actually end up manifesting that. And so the truth is that it is more counterproductive to resist the very natural feelings that come up when we're pursuing our dreams.
Wow.
It's more counterproductive to resist them than to just honor the feelings. The fear comes up, you honor the fear, you let it come up. And here's the thing about emotions, they will release. Emotions are just energy. But what a lot of us do is we relate to our emotions through our minds. And so we look at our feeling, we judge it, and we say, oh, I can't feel that way. They think they have to think away their fear,
mm-hmm.
or they have to, their fear is a problem that they have to solve, rather than it's energy. It flows. And when we say yes to it, it releases. And then, because there's no resistance, your soul can give you an insight or an inspiration that will guide you to your next step. So harnessing the power of our emotions is very much about learning how to choose to feel and honor emotional energy so as to stay connected to your soul's guidance rather than relating to our emotions from a place of control where either we're controlling our emotions or they're controlling us, which just creates more and more resistance.
Okay. Well, how do we dismantle limiting belief systems? Because if the core of your believing system believes that you are not worthy or I'm not good enough, how can that person use the law of attraction? I think that identifying and really dealing with limiting belief system is really one of the main reasons why people have not manifested as they should in their lives.
Right. Well, I think a very important part of dismantling limiting beliefs is education. You can't dismantle a belief approaching it from the same belief that got you there to begin with.
Okay, and explain
so,
that.
Well, you know, if you were taught that you have to work hard to make money, that could very well be a limiting belief. Or you have to pay your dues, or you have to have a degree, let's say. You have to, it's what I call limiting beliefs are, another way of looking at them are incorrect cause and effect thinking. In order for me to have this, I need to have this, or a limiting belief could also be just a statement about this is how life is or this is the state of the world. Now, we form our beliefs based on life experiences and the things that we are taught, and we formulate these opinions and we make decisions conscious and unconscious. If there is no new information that can open the door to a new way of approaching that same scenario, there's nothing that's going to crack open that belief. So one of the most important things for dismantling limiting beliefs is some form of exposure to new ideas, to higher truths, to bigger possibilities. So whether that's a book, whether those are classes, whether you're with a teacher, whether you're having conversations with people who are outside of your normal circle that reinforce your beliefs, somehow you have to expose yourself to new ideas. That's a very fundamental first
okay.
step around limiting beliefs.
And then you replace the old belief with the new belief over time.
Yes, exactly. Then once you start to have new ideas, a very simple starting place is always willingness. Let's say you've always believed that, you know, you have to have a degree to have the kind of career you want, okay? And then somebody says, well, no, you don't. You know, there's a lot of people out there who have these very successful businesses and didn't ever get a degree. So all of a sudden, this new possibility opens up. Then how do you start to dismantle the old one? Well, you can come up with more self-talk. You can come up with a willingness mantra, which is, I'm willing to discover how I can create the job of my dreams without the degree. Or another affirmation style that I love is when you find yourself an example or a role model of somebody who's done it. So you find somebody who did it, and they say, well, if John Doe did it, that means it's possible. And if it's possible for him, it's possible for me. All of a sudden, you've dismantled the power of that belief that had you locked in, and you've opened the door of possibility. And every time that limiting belief rears its head, you use that statement, that reminder, that affirmation.
Do you believe that people need either a counselor or a coach in order to deal with limiting beliefs and in order to more effectively attract and manifest into their lives what they desire?
I definitely believe that coaches and teachers of some kind are really vital. I mean, we can't do it on our own. I don't care how advanced you are. I mean, the most self-initiating people can do a lot on their own simply by reading books and their self-studies. And I did a lot of self-study. But there's usually going to come a point where you can only get so far on your own. And that's where, you know, I can't encourage strongly enough how important it is to find your teachers, your counselors, your healers, whoever's going to guide you, because we just can't see the forest from the trees when we're in our own forest, you know.
Absolutely, absolutely. And step four is welcome it into your life. Expound on that a little bit for our listeners. What does that mean?
Well, it means two things. Welcome it into your life talks about a very worldly level of once you've manifested what you want, give thanks, give grateful thanks for it. Because one of the things that I've seen happens a lot for people is they manifest what they want, but they've been so long in working towards it or moving towards it that they might just acknowledge it and celebrate for a while, and then they just kind of go on to the next wanting, the next longing, the next desire. And so the reason the gratitude is so important is because it actually becomes like this momentum. The gratitude energy is the thing that keeps the flow of abundance going in your life. And it just really speeds up and magnifies the process of being in the flow of abundance. So that's the first level of welcome it into your life, which is how do you magnify this powerful creative force in your life. It's through welcoming, it's through acknowledgement, and it's through gratitude. Beyond that, though, is the bigger picture of the law of attraction that I was talking about before, which is for many people who are open to the law of attraction being a body of knowledge that can be a vehicle for spiritual development, what happens for people is this phenomenon that I've named is the flip factor. And what that speaks to is that a lot of people come into the law of attraction saying, I want these things in my life, and I will cultivate a relationship with Source in order to have these things. So their relationship with Source is like a means to an end. Mm-hmm. And what can happen at some point as their awareness expands is that their priorities flip, and instead of their dreams being the goal, their relationship with Source becomes the number one priority. They realize, you know what, I am one with Source. Everything comes from my relationship with Source, from knowing this oneness with this creative energy. And so they flip their priority. They go to the next level of being the spiritual beings that we are. They make the relationship with God or Source the number one priority. And then their dreams just simply happen to manifest as a byproduct of that. And so welcoming it into your life speaks to the idea of if you are interested in having the law of attraction be more than just something that helps you get things, you have an opportunity for welcoming transformation into your life, transformation at a very deep, soulful, spiritual level where you know yourself at a depth and an intimacy and a spiritual level that maybe was never something that you even considered before. So it really
right.
opens the door for something.
Right, and you know, the Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added to you. Because
exactly.
you and I know that just seeking things is just not enough. And on the heels of that statement, I love what you talked about serving and giving. So share with our listeners about that and how that impacted your life.
Well, I find that really life is all about service and giving, ultimately. I mean, people who are looking for meaning and purpose in their lives, if they haven't yet stumbled upon the idea of service, they're really missing kind of the golden key. You know, a lot
right.
of us are yearning and longing for something, and we're coming from a place of, I have this emptiness that I'm trying to fill. And so they try to fill it by getting things to put in. You know, I'm trying to get this thing to fill the holes inside of me. And I was one of those people. That's how I had approached my goals and my dreams. I kept thinking, if I get this, if I do this, if I manifest this, then I'll be happy. And I kept manifesting things, but there was still that longing, that seeking, that yearning. And then at the time, a group of people that I was growing and learning with and my teachers at the time offered opportunities for service. And I had one of these defining moments in my life where I was given the opportunity to give with no strings attached, to just give for the sake of giving, not to get something back, but to be of service. And that is when the longing and the yearning just went away. And what there's a wonderful, I think it's called St. Teresa's Prayer. Forgive me if I have that wrong, but it's basically whatever it is that you want, give it first. If you want love, give love. If you want abundance, give abundance. You know, always from the place of, and again, it's very much like that gratitude energy. When you give, you're telling the universe, I have this to give. You give first. And then
right.
the flow, you've just opened up the flow of abundance. So giving is really, whenever somebody has a problem, I always ask them, you know, how can you give? How can you bring what's lacking in your life? Because that is the magical key that will just turn everything around.
Well, you know, that's so powerful, and that's exactly what I'm doing with this radio show. Somebody asked me the other day, so what are you getting from this? I'm like, what am I getting? I'm meeting phenomenal people. I'm touching people's lives. I'm changing the world, and just doing this show has just radically changed my life personally. So I can certainly understand that. So talk about the power of purpose and how that plays in with the law of attraction. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think it's very connected to the giving. You know, I think a lot of people, let me put it this way, people that identify their wants at usually two different, there's two levels of wanting. There's the ego level, which is the part of us that operates from our five senses, and we think that our physical self in this physical world is who we are. And then there's the soul level of wanting. And the soul is here to express, to offer, to give, and to create. When you connect with your purpose, which is what it is that you're here to give, and there's infinite ways of giving. You know, people, I think, sometimes think like, well, if my purpose is about something that I, you know, at some huge level, it can be at these beautiful, intimate, small levels, but it's aligned with who you are. Mm-hmm. When you know what your purpose is, when you know who your what your soul is, then once again, you're connected with source energy and a flow of abundance in a way that you never can connect with at the ego level. So it very much ties into that energy of giving as well.
And at the end of your book, you talked about that there is only oneness. Explain that to our listeners. What does that mean?
Well, you know, that idea of oneness is something, and I think there are many people out there who will probably feel the same way. I used to hear what felt like platitudes of, you know, there's only one, you know, or they were, I knew these grand mystical ideas, but, you know, my mind would hear the words, but I didn't really understand what that meant, you know, and I certainly didn't know how it applied to me or why it mattered. But I kept bumping into it over the years many, many times. And it's the concept of oneness, which when you start to open up to that idea, and I'll explain it in a minute, but that's when you start to see how what I spoke about earlier, that our true nature is abundant and infinite, and that everything that we desire already exists. When you start to get the idea of oneness, you start to get these concepts at a deep level. The potential for deep understanding becomes present. It isn't just going on blind faith.
Right.
And so the idea
of we're not
of
separate from abundance. We're one
exactly,
with abundance.
Exactly. And the thing that helped me get the idea was the analogy of being a drop of water in the ocean. And that finally, I could kind of wrap my mind around it, which is that, you know, each one of us is like a drop of water in the ocean. You know, we have our individual identity, but we are still a part of the ocean, the larger whole. And so we have the same essence, the same substance, the same properties as the ocean. And if the ocean is God and source energy, and you understand that God and source is abundance and love and well-being and freedom, then you realize, if that's what the ocean is, and I'm an individual expression of that, an individual extension of that, that means that I'm abundance. I am well-being. It's not just that I want to have it and get it. I already am it. I am one with that. There's no separation from all that I desire. It's not only is it already here, but I am already it. And so manifestation is no longer about attracting or creating, but about dropping the veil of illusion, that veil that has you believe that somehow you're less than or separate. And as you begin to drop that veil, you start to come into the truth of who you really are. And again, you open up to a flow rather than this feeling of being separate from something or feeling that you're broken and you need to fix yourself. You're already whole. You're already everything that you desire to be. And it's about
And so if a person is really, if they have been downsized and don't have any money, they probably might be getting unemployment. They need to get into a quiet place and just begin to get a revelation of their oneness with God, their oneness with source, their oneness with abundance, their oneness with wholeness. How do they do that? Do they visualize? Do they meditate? How do you get a revelation of that oneness?
It all begins with willingness. You start to tell yourself and God that you are willing to know your wholeness. You're willing to remember your abundant nature. You're willing to know that you are free under all conditions, no matter what is happening around you. You say nothing else but your statement of willingness, and over time, your life will change.
You've been coming back to that same point all during the show. Just willingness. That must be very important.
Very important. Very important. Every time in my life that I was bumping up against something that felt insurmountable or overwhelming, as soon as I could open up to willingness, and I've seen this happen for countless other seekers, it's like the magical opening of a door to the universe. When you become willing, you are basically laying down your limiting beliefs, laying down the way you think the world is, and opening up to a higher vision of truth.
Wow. Well, Sonya, we have about 3 minutes, and I want you to share with our listeners just something about your website, about your services, CDs, how can they get your book, et cetera.
Oh, I'd be happy to. Thanks for that opportunity. Mm-hmm. My website is www.successforthesoul.com, just the way it sounds, Success for the Soul, all letters, no dashes, no spaces. successforthesoul.com, and I've created it to be like a virtual resource center for seekers who are looking for support at realizing their greatest aspirations. And so I've created programs, I've got products and services that really are, I try to create a range that is available to people no matter where they're at in terms of how much support they're seeking, where their budget is. So there's everything ranging from private coaching with me, that's one-on-one, very intimate, where I lead people by the hand and we connect on a regular basis and they get, you know, exactly what they need on a very personal level, to some things that are a little more open in group format. For example, right now I'm teaching the Ultimate Manifestation System Boot Camp. That's not currently open, but that is something that will be available again in the future. And then I have, of course, the book is a great point of entry for these ideas. And I have an audio program called Getting Out of Your Own Way, and it's a subscription program where you can have an MP3 recording delivered to your inbox once a month. It's very affordable, $20 a month, as well as a home study program. I found that people were, after they'd read the book, they were kind of like, well, what do I do now? So the home study program is called How to Get Results with the Law of Attraction, and it's a 6-module program that you can buy. It's got a workbook and audio CDs. So it helps walk people through some next steps so that they're guided, but they can do it at their own pace.
Okay,
and
that's
then, of course,
great.
There's a newsletter where, you know, if you subscribe to that, you'll get tips and articles and tools, and there's a blog on the website with lots and lots of articles, so you can just search on the topic of your choice and get a lot of tips and tools that way as well.
So, Sonya, we have about 1 minute left. What could you say to our listeners about the law of attraction in their lives?
I think the point that I would really love to offer people is that the law of attraction really does work. And I know for there are many people, and I was one of those, that every time, at least at the beginning, when I would try to get results with the law of attraction, when it didn't work, where I would go with it and where a lot of people go is, oh, this doesn't work. It's just a bunch of hooey. You know, it's not for real. And what I want to say is that if the law of attraction is not producing the results that you hope for, it's not because the idea is flawed. It does work. It means that you need to go deeper in your understanding. You need to open up to the subtle nuances and advanced principles that really let you access this very powerful, life-changing body of knowledge.
Thank you, Sonya M. Mirla, author of The Attraction Distraction. Thank you so much for sharing with our listeners today. You've been a blessing, and we're going to take what you shared with us and implement it into our lives.
Thank you so much, Constance. It's been a real pleasure. I really appreciate the opportunity.
All right. Thank you. Have a good day.
You too.
And this
Bye-bye.
Is Constance Arnold with Think, Believe, and Manifest. And I just want to say to you that change your thinking and believing, all things are possible. Have a blessed and prosperous week.
Thanks for joining us today on Think, Believe, and Manifest. We'll be back next week with another great show. For more information, go to fulfillingyourpurpose.com.